Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today I'd like to address, it's a very exciting day at Peace. We're welcoming in new members. I want to talk about what it means to have a church family, what it means to be a member even of a church. Dear friends, about a month ago, my family was on vacation in Spokane, and we decided to go out for a family extravaganza afternoon, and we had decided to go to the water park. And it wasn't everyone in the family, but it was most everyone. Six adults, four kids, all packed into two vehicles. And once we were packed into the vehicles, very shortly after getting everything in, I realized that this afternoon was going to be an absolute disaster. And I'll tell you why. We got into the car. One person said that, see, everyone was different. Everyone, I found out quickly, had a different agenda. One person said, finally, this is the time that I can sit back in a chair, get some sun, and read the book that I always wanted to read this summer. Another person chimed in. Finally, a female said this, by the way. A female said, well, finally, I can drop everyone off, then I can go shopping. It's going to be great. A third chimed in, I just want to go on water slides and have fun. I haven't done that since I was a kid, one of the adults said. And a fourth finally replied, the boring one of the bunch said, I've got some emails from work that I've got to catch up on my iPad. So everyone was there. Everyone had their own agenda, and you could see how this all works. And this is where the problem came in. See, all the adults expressed their agendas for the afternoon, but no one said they were going to watch the kids. And that's why when I was sitting in the back seat listening to all this, I was thinking, my goodness, I wish I would have stayed home. This is going to be an absolute disaster of a trip and an afternoon. Well, dear friends, a similar kind of situation and mentality can happen actually in a church, even our church at Peace Lutheran Church. There are many people here in our church. If you count the roster, I think we have about 220, 230 members now. Wow, that's a lot. And each one of us have ideas about what we want to accomplish, what we want to do. It's almost as if being a part of church is like sitting in the car, expressing, going on a journey with other people, and everyone's expressing their agenda and hopes of how things are going to turn out. One person chimes in and says, well, what would I like to accomplish at church? I'd like to solve world hunger and figure it out. That's a great thought. Another person chimes in. Well, I've been Lutheran all my life. I want to make sure to preserve everything, that nothing changes forever. Now, you know the joke about Lutherans changing light bulbs. How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Do you know? Zero. They don't like change. There's nothing wrong with that either, actually. It's good to keep what we talked about in Bible study this morning. Another person chimes in and says, well, what I'd like to accomplish is I want a place where I can share my ups and downs and have fellowship with friends. And you see, none of those things are wrong, but you can see how this goes. Everyone is unique. Everyone has their ideas on how things should go. But, you know, just the church is more than 10 people. It's a whole group of individuals. And you can see how the church, very quickly, if you look at it, it can be like being in the car in that situation. You scratch your head and say, this is going to be a disaster. Now, a moment of truth here. What I just explained is a reason why some people stay away from church. They have an aversion to church. Here's the thing. If I don't like being in the car with my relatives that I've known for many, many years, six of them, if I don't want to be in the car with them, what makes us think that 240 people gathered together that we're ever going to get along? It doesn't make sense. And so some people come to the conclusion, here's the conclusion, you know, I'm just going to stay away. I don't know if I really want to go to church. The people that really have strong agendas, let's let them get their way. I really don't want to get bothered by it. And the back and forth that I hear of the agendas going on, you know, I really don't want to get involved. I want to stay away and stay home. Now, here's the thing. Every organization, every church has experienced this. It's not just in the church. Agendas, ideas of how things should go. First thing that I want to say is this. Jesus relates to this. How do I say that? Well, think of Jesus' ministry this way. Jesus is the driver in the car, and he included a bunch of disciples in that car who had a whole bunch of agendas and ideas of the ways that things should go. Think about some of these disciples. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they perhaps thought, I'm going on this journey so that I can get a kickback and reward, or maybe so that my father Zebedee's commercial fisherman industry can get some exposure out in the community in Palestine. That's kind of in the back of their minds, actually. The Gospels give us a flavor of that. How difficult it was for James and John to figure out Jesus was about something else. Simon the Zealot had an agenda when he joined Jesus in the car. Simon the Zealot, he wanted the Roman occupiers to get kicked out of town. He was a political activist, you see, Simon the Zealot. How disappointing it was when Jesus did not do that. Simon was disappointed, and Peter too. We see it here in our gospel text. Peter has a big mouth, first of all. Do you know anyone with a big mouth? That's Peter. Notice in the gospels when you read them, just notice this little detail. When Jesus asks questions to the plural disciples, often it's Peter who blurts out an answer. And not only that, his answer is oftentimes incorrect. Peter wants to be a leader. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. But that's perhaps a little bit what's on his heart as he joins Jesus. So in our text this morning, Peter steps out of the boat. What a leader. What an amazing person. But you see, as you look at all these disciples in the Gospels, you can see the dynamic going on. They all have different agendas of how this should work with Jesus. And as you look at it and read it and study it, you can scratch your head and say, my goodness, this is headed for a disaster. This isn't going to go very well. But it did go very well. And I'll tell you why. I believe Jesus is the only person on earth to do this. Jesus somehow got his followers to set aside their own agenda and buy in to the Father's agenda. If you go through that listing that I just said, just think about these disciples. John and James, the son of Zebedee. What we know about them is that they actually never received a reward, no earthly reward. They were actually put to death. They never got their name of their father out into the world, but what we know is that they went to the very end. They bought into a different agenda. And then we know with Simon the Zealot that Jesus changed him and moved him from his agenda of bringing political upheaval and moved Simon the Zealot after God's kingdom and the stretching of God's kingdom. And Peter, too. Peter is saved by Jesus. We know that. Jesus pulls him up from the water and brings him up. And in that moment, Peter learned that he should always have his eyes fixed on Jesus. But friends, over time and time again in the Gospels, Jesus is doing this with Peter. Peter, set behind your agenda and follow the Father's will. And Peter did that. And as I study the Gospels and more every year, what I've come to the conclusion, really one conclusion, there's only one explanation for why all of this happened, and that is this. Jesus Christ had no personal agenda. None. He got nothing out of the deal. He got nothing dying on the cross. Jesus was completely about his Father's will. And so he went out into the countryside and he prayed, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And as disciple and follower saw that from Jesus, they stepped one by one and followed Jesus. Friends, if you ever find someone that has no personal agenda, follow them. I don't think you'll find one, it's hard, but you'll find one with Jesus Christ. Jesus brings us on his team. He had amazing ability to do that. And I want to say this morning with every person here at church, whether you're a new member or you're an existing member, Jesus has a place for everyone. One of my favorite movies back in the 1990s was The Sandlot. Anyone ever seen The Sandlot? A good movie about fifth graders and baseball. Fifth graders and baseball, can't get better than that. bunch of fifth graders are very close friends in a small town, and they play baseball together. And there's one new guy that comes to town. His name is Scotty Smalls. And Scotty Smalls is very short in stature. He's called a weenie in the movie. That's the term that's used in the movie. I'm not saying that. He's called a weenie by his friends. He doesn't know how to do three things. He doesn't know how to catch, he doesn't know how to throw, and he doesn't know how to hit a baseball. And for that reason, none of the other fifth graders want Scotty Smalls on the baseball team. But as you know from the movie, the best player on the team, Benny Rodriguez, changes his mind. He wants Scotty on the team. So Benny does something amazing. He tells Scotty Smalls to go out into left field, and he moved him over 5 feet once he got way deep in left field. And he told him, spread your legs and put your arm out like this with your glove in hand and close your eyes, basically. This is totally a bad strategy. No one do this if you play baseball. So Scotty Smalls goes out into left field, and he just sticks his glove up. And Benny Rodriguez, the best player on the team, hit the ball, and it lands right in Scotty Smalls' glove. And the moment that he catches it, all the fifth graders love him, and they accept him onto the team. It's amazing. Isn't that what Jesus has done for each one of us? We're kind of like Scotty Smalls, each one of us. We have our own agendas. We're small in stature. We may think that we know how we want things to go. And the best player on God's team, Jesus, the driver of the bus, he puts us in position. That position is in the waters of baptism. You have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All you got to do is stick out the hand. It's going to be right there, and you're on God's team. So that's the way it works. And what a special team we have here at Peace Lutheran Church. Not because we have amazing gifts, not because we have amazing talents, but here's the thing. We all set aside our agendas, and we focus ourselves on the Father's will, as Jesus directed those followers of His. We have a special team, and we have a special purpose. Amen. Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, what a powerful message we've heard today about shifting our thoughts about what we should do and what we should be to Your thoughts and what You would want. Lord, if there's anything in our church that we need correction towards the Father's will, show it to us. Those things that we have followed You, Lord, affirm those things and bless us here at Peace. And we pray with the gathering of new members, we thank You for the gifts and talents that they bring. Lord, we thank You that they are on our team here at Peace. Bind us together, keep us close as a family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.